Hello, and welcome to another episode of Book Echoes, the podcast on making great books while making creative lives that work for us. I'm your host, author Connie B. Dowell. And today, we have a lovely misty day here in Richmond, and it's just, I'm really pleased it's not outright raining, because that always messes with my sound quality. Whenever I record a podcast, it doesn't matter what room in the house I'm in, it doesn't matter where I go, somehow the rain sounds get in. But instead, it's just this wonderful atmospheric mist and fog, and just the kind of weather that I love. It just always makes everything look more intense and mysterious outside. Perfect for a mystery writer. Perfect weather for mysteries. So today I'm bringing you guys another solo episode. It's a little more in-depth to call it a tips episode, so I'm going to say it's a back-to-basics episode. So some of my recent interviews have touched on topics regarding ISBNs and printing options and distribution, and it gets a little bit into the weeds and might be a little bit overwhelming for those who are newer to self-publishing or who just haven't focused as much on print. So I'm going to talk about some of the basics of those issues today and give you guys a little bit of background if you're new to the podcast and wanted to re-listen to any of the past interviews, or if you just emerged with some questions, hopefully this will start to clear things up for you. So let's start with an oldie but a goodie, the print run. In the old days of self-publishing, this used to be what everyone had to do. You would contract with a printer to print up perhaps thousands of copies of your book. You would store them, maybe in your house or your garage. You would hire a storage facility. You would have to store them. And then you might contract with someone to help you distribute them to bookstores, or you might be a distributor yourself, and you would handle all of where those books go and how they get into retail or into libraries and ultimately into customers' hands. So what would happen is aspiring self-publishers would buy up all these books, they would store them, and maybe they would be successful and they would sell out and they'd have to do another print run. Or maybe they would only be left with a few copies left that they could pass around to friends and family. Or more likely, especially if they're new to publishing and to self-publishing, and there didn't used to be a whole lot of tools to succeed at this, what would happen most commonly is that they'd print a bunch of books, store them, and a year later, 2 years later, still have boxes of books sitting around their house. And the thing is, it's expensive. It's expensive to put all those books. There's a huge investment of money, of time, of space. And unfortunately, for a lot of authors, it meant it was an investment that was kind of wasted. Enter print-on-demand services, completely changing the game. With a print-on-demand service, what happens is, just like with a print run, you would upload your files to this service, the interior and exterior files for your book. But instead of printing a whole bunch of books that you have to buy and hang on to, instead, when a customer orders the book is printed and shipped directly to them at that time. There's no wasted books. There's no upfront investment for the author, except perhaps as in the case of Ingram Spark, which is a print-on-demand service, that there is a kind of a registration setup fee. But you don't have to buy, several hundred books to get started. You just have to set up your account and your book. It's a whole lot less waste. It enables you to kind of figure out the market and figure out how to sell things. And it means you can actually make a profit on books that are really niche and maybe would maybe never make back their money if they had traditional big print runs. It's also just so much easier. You don't have to store bunches of books. You don't have to become a distributor yourself. Ingram Spark and KDP Print, those are the two big players in the print-on-demand space. And when you set up your account, you can also have, you know, have them list your book on retailers for sale online. So yeah, that part is taken care of. You don't have to fulfill the order. You don't have to contract with a bookstore unless you want to. And many people do want to get into bookstores, but you can do this totally online, and it's very little barrier to entry in terms of time and money. So the two most commonly used print-on-demand services, as I mentioned before, Ingram Spark, that's one print-on-demand service. The other most commonly used print-on-demand service is KDP Print, formerly known as CreateSpace, which is owned by Amazon. And so both of those services are pretty simple to use and offer a variety of formats. However, if you want hardback books, you're going to have to go through Ingram Spark, because KDP Print really only offers a paperback option at this time. And there are some other smaller print-on-demand services. Probably the third biggest player in this space would be Lulu. It's kind of fallen out of favor lately, but they do offer something that I don't believe Ingram Spark offers, and KDP Print definitely doesn't offer, and that's spiral-bound books. A lot of authors go with Lulu for spiral-bound titles. Now, if this is sounding really complicated and making you think, well, gee, I have multiple formats I want my book to be in, how will I ever choose? And the beauty of self-publishing is that you don't have to 100% choose. So you can produce a paperback and have it printed by one company, and a hardback by another, and a spiral bound by another, because these are all separate editions of your book. Indeed, you can actually produce the same edition printed at two different companies. So for example, you could have your paperback printed by both KDP Print and Ingram Spark. And you're probably wondering why you would want to do that. Well, there's a good reason to use Ingram Spark and favor it over KDP Print, and that is bookstore placement. Many independent bookstores, in fact, I'd venture to say most independent bookstores, who are willing to work with on consignment or on a normal basis with independent authors, don't want to stock books that are printed by an Amazon company, because Amazon is their biggest competitor, and I don't blame them. They don't want to do business with their biggest competitor. So if you want to get your book in bookstores, you need to have your book printed by a different company. And so many authors who wish to go into bookstores will have their book printed by Ingram Spark. Now, why would you also want it printed by KDP Print, you might be wondering. Well, if you have your book printed by KDP Print and the sales you get from Amazon, you're going to get a bigger chunk than if you get your book printed exclusively through Ingram Spark. They will distribute through Amazon, of course they will, but you're not going to get as big of a royalty cut as you will going through Amazon's printer distributor, naturally. So what you need to do if you want to go this route
is to set up your book with KDP Print and turn off the expanded distribution option so that those books that are being printed by KDP Print are only to be sold through Amazon.com. Then you can go into Ingram Spark and set up that same edition of the same book and just turn off the Amazon distribution. So it's distributing everywhere but Amazon. And that's how you make two different distributors work for you so that you get the best deal possible and still have the most access possible. Now, does that mean with all this information that print runs are obsolete? Absolutely not. There are still some very good reasons why a self-published author might want to do a print run. One of those reasons is if you know you're going to have a big bunch of sales from an event, it might be more cost-effective for you to do a print run than to purchase your books through print on demand and have them delivered to you that way. So you just have to run the numbers to see how many books you need, how quickly they can do it, what your time frame looks like, and how much it's going to cost you. And it might actually be a better deal if you are having a large event where you know or are confident that you're going to sell a lot of books. Especially if you know you're going to sell a lot of books. Like if you booked a school visit and you know that these copies are going to be pre-ordered or have been pre-ordered by the school, or if you've booked a talk that you're giving to an organization, the organization may have purchased a bunch of copies. So books that are basically pre-sold for you and in large quantities definitely makes sense to do a print run for those copies. Another reason why it might make sense to do a print run is if you have a specialty format book. If you remember a couple of weeks ago, the interview with Trina Wetzel, and she produced several board books. And so for those of you who aren't parents or teachers and aren't as well-versed in children's literature, board books, they're like picture books. They're basically the same picture book format, but they have these big cardboard pages with some sort of veneer on top. And so they're really durable. They're meant for babies and toddlers, who might chew on the corners or spill their sippy cup and you could wipe it off. Board books for the under five set are really great. They are a wonderful thing to have as a parent, I can say that. But they are also just as far as I know, impossible to produce on print on demand. So Trina had to do a print run to produce those board books. And as far as I know, that is really the only option for the foreseeable future. So if you have a board book, or if you have some other special format of book and you've looked at all the printing options for print on demand companies and they're not really meeting your needs, then that's something that you might do a print run for. Now, before we move on to talk about ISBNs, which are also really tied up in print options and distribution, let's take a moment to beware of the all-done-for-you services and look out for the vanity press. So a vanity press is the name that a lot of us self-publishers give to done-for-you services that are really predatory on authors, that they're not really helping authors build a business by their practices, but they're just taking the money and run. And for some people, they end up pretty happy with their vanity press service because it really was vanity. Not to use that in a way that implies that, not to use that as in the deadly sin way, but that it was just the joy of putting the book together and seeing their friends and family have it. And if that's all
And they don't care about making money, and they don't care how much money they spend. But a lot of these all-in-one, we'll publish your book services, they ask for a lot of upfront cost from the author, and make these big promises about, we'll get your book in bookstores, we'll get your book in this. There's some, oh man, lately, y'all may have seen the ads on TV about getting your book into bookstores. I'm like, if you have, no, it doesn't work that way. So, yeah, there's a lot of red flag vanity presses out there. So I actually don't have an all done for you editing, cover design, put together service that I can recommend, because there are so many vanity presses out there that, you know, will have an author slapping down, you know, $5,000 to $10,000 and then making no sales. Yeah, maybe their books are put together. Yeah, their books are on Amazon, but nobody's coming. And because the marketing that they promised, they might be posting things on their Facebook page, but like, if, when you get into this business, you know that posting things on a Facebook page does not really equal good quality marketing. So yeah, be very careful of services that promise to do it all for you and distribute your book for you. And I'd really just kind of advise people to stick with the trusted printer distributor options and keep tight rein on their copyright. That's another issue with vanity presses, is that a lot of them, you know, they'll tie authors up in contracts, and once they realize that they are not getting a good deal and they want to go elsewhere, they're stuck for a certain number of years, because the publisher has control of their copyright. So if you have any doubt about the service that you are looking into, you know, do your homework and check places like writerbeware.com. I'm going to link to this in the show notes. That kind of puts the spotlight on vanity presses and predatory services. I'd also just, and this is kind of a good rule of thumb for anything you're looking into, Google the name of the company plus the word scam and see if it comes up with any results, and, you know, read through and see if people saying this is a scam before they do it. So look at all your options and be very careful. Now, moving on to ISBNs. ISBN, sometimes people like to say ISBN numbers, and I still catch myself doing that, but that is actually a redundancy, because ISBN stands for International Standard Book Number. So if you say ISBN number, you're saying International Standard Book Number. ATM machine, automatic teller machine. The same sort of thing. We all do it. I still catch myself doing it, but technically it's ISBN. Don't repeat the number. So these are unique numbers to identify a particular edition of a book, and that's important. Not just one particular book out of many, but a particular edition of a book. And it helps to track sales and get publication data. So it helps librarians, it helps booksellers, and what you need to know about ISBNs is that while they are not required for Amazon eBooks, and many self-publishers just never bother to get to own their own ISBNs at all for this reason, that they could just produce eBooks without them, you do have to have an ISBN for a print copy of a book. So here are your options for getting an ISBN. Option one, if you go through, formerly known as CreateSpace, now KDP Print, that's Amazon's print on demand service, you can get a free ISBN. And that free ISBN You know, you don't have to register it. You don't have to set up a new account. You don't have to pay for it. But here's the thing. You get take that free ISBN. KDP Print is now the publisher of record for your book. So you are not the publisher of record for your book. KDP Print is the publisher of record for your book. So if that matters to you, and down the line it may, you'll need to buy an ISBN and, you know, set up your account and be the publisher of record, you or your business name, your name or your business name, as the publisher of record for that book. If you already used your freebie, your free ISBN number, then you're going to have to produce a new edition of that book to get an ISBN. Now, here's why you might want to start from the very beginning with a paid ISBN. Not only do you get the benefit of, from the very beginning, you are the publisher of record for your book. You don't have to produce a new edition to become the publisher of record. It also means it opens you up to more than one printer distributor service. Because if you have used a free ISBN on a KDP Print book, and you say, I want to get my book in bookstores, and they're not going to do business with me unless I use a different printer. So I'm going to go through Ingram Spark. And you try to enter the ISBN in the form, Ingram Spark is going to say, oh, wait, no, this is already registered and it's not registered to you. So you can't use this ISBN. So you would then have to set up an account, buy an ISBN, and produce a new edition. It would technically be a new edition, even if it's completely the same content, because it's a different ISBN. It would be a new edition of your book. And so you might as well go from the beginning, if bookstores and libraries are in your plan, and buy your ISBNs before you produce your print book. You can use them in both places. You just alter your distribution often so they're not competing with each other. And then you're good to go. Now, where do you buy ISBNs? And this is one we got into with Trina as well. So there are services out there that will buy ISBNs for you. They mess with the language. You may not be, again, listed as publisher of record if you're not careful. So I recommend always just go straight to the source, to go straight to the company or organization that distributes ISBN, issues and distributes ISBN numbers for your country. Unfortunately, for U.S. residents, ISBNs can get kind of pricey. There are other countries where ISBNs are free. But U.S. residents have to go through Bowker. That is the only company that is licensed to issue ISBN numbers for U.S. citizens. And so go through Bowker and buy your ISBNs. And I recommend buying a pack of them instead of one at a time. If you buy them one at a time, I believe the current price is like $125 per ISBN. But if you buy 10, it's only like $300. So it's a pretty big deal to do that. And if you buy 100, you know, it gets pricier, but it's still, I think it's like $500 to buy 100 ISBNs. It's pretty, the deal gets better and better the more that you buy. You're probably not going to start out buying 1,000, but the most popular package for people to buy is 10 of them. Because, as I mentioned before, an ISBN number, I'm doing it again, like ATM machine, an ISBN is for a particular edition of your book, not for one book. So you might think, oh, I've got one book. Well,
I'll just buy one ISBN. That means you can only produce one kind of print copy. So you can't, you know, you can't have a paper book and a hardback edition with the same ISBN. So you will actually run through 10 ISBNs faster than you think. If you are in, you know, if you enjoy being a self-publisher and you keep going on multiple books, you will run through that faster than you think. You can also, for ease of tracking sales, assign ISBNs to ebooks, though, at least with Amazon, you don't have to do that. And I don't think that's the case with other retailers as well. You don't have to do that. But you can do that and have those sales tracked as an edition of your book. Now, we've gone through a lot of stuff about print options, but there is also ebook distribution as well. And ebooks are considerably simpler. Most of the time, what you're going to want to do is just upload your book individually to the retailer where your book will be sold. That's definitely the case for Amazon. I would also recommend uploading directly to Kobo. Just set up an account at these places and upload them directly. You might also want to upload directly to, you know, Barnes & Noble or Apple iBooks or whatnot. But there's also more options than just that. So companies like Draft to Digital or Publish Drive or Smashwords will save you some time and effort and help you get your books into many of the smaller ebook retailers. Because you could, especially if you, you know, you update back matter for your books, it can start to get like an administrative overload to upload individually at each place. So what I personally use is Draft to Digital. They do take a small portion of each sale, but it's not a number that I feel like I can't live with. Publish Drive is another popular option. However, they have recently changed their business model. And they're now software as a service. So you're paying a monthly fee, but then they don't take any portion of your royalties. So usually the numbers don't really work out unless you're selling lots and lots of ebooks. So you have to be selling to a certain amount for Publish Drive to kind of be worth it. If you're selling smaller amounts at different distributors, then you are at different retailers rather, then you might be better off with Draft to Digital or with the oldie but goodie, Smashwords, the one that kind of started it all. And they also have a similar model to Draft to Digital. So why would you not just do that for everything? Well, if you want to change your price easily on a particular platform like Amazon or Kobo or Barnes & Noble or Apple, then you might want to upload to them directly and have that direct relationship. It makes it easier to change the price quicker. There's just less steps than changing the price through a distributor and then waiting for all of that to churn through the system. You can also access promotional tools by going directly. So in the case of Amazon, you could access, if you join KDP Select, which is their program that allows people to borrow your book. It also allows you to have a select number of free days or countdown deals during a 90-day period. And to do that, you have to be exclusive to Amazon. And you also have to be uploading directly to them instead of going through a distributor. And if you're going to be exclusive to Amazon, then you might as well be going directly to them. But there are other retailers have other deals as well. Kobo offers promotional options. Amazon, even for non-exclusive titles, if you have uploaded directly, then you have access to Amazon advertising, which is a really powerful tool. So Amazon, I would always recommend going direct to them. Don't use a distributor to distribute to Amazon. Just do it yourself. And personally, that's what I do. I go direct with Amazon and with Kobo, and I do have a few titles I've gone direct to Barnes & Noble with, even though Barnes & Noble is not terribly powerful on the promotions front. But the rest I just do with Draft to Digital, and that gives me options to smaller ebook retailers, to even to services that distribute books to libraries. So those are your options for ebook and print distribution and some of the basics of using ISBNs. And you know, the big caveat with all of this is always be careful. Do your homework. Google the name of something with the word scam and look it up on Writer Beware. So get out there and enjoy your books and your self-publishing. And I hope that this has cleared up a few questions. Until next time, happy writing!